Hey, everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions Podcast, part of the Minute Media Podcast Network. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecap when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we talk about the Detroit Lions hype train from last year. Was it worth the fare? Are the Lions being hyped up again this year? Or is there a different feel or aura about the team? We'll discuss that and more. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, everyone. This is Herman Moore, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions Podcast.
Since we're revisiting the hype train, I figured we should bring in the two guys who were here a year ago when we first discussed it. First, we have a very familiar character in James Cook, the senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on his podcast called The Get Around. It drops on Mondays. James, as usual, great to have you here.
Thank you for having me. And luckily, we're taking the summer off for the Get Around, but we'll be back in August for looking ahead to football season.
Awesome. It is nice to have a little bit of a break between seasons just to give you time to recharge and maybe get outside and golf a little bit if the weather cooperates.
Yes.
And also joining us today is Up North Live Sports Director Harrison Beebe. Harrison, it's great to have you back on the show. Thanks for joining us here today.
Matt, I cannot wait to share my scalding hot and cold takes on the Detroit Lions. That's why I'm here. I'm the barometer of controversy. I'd like to think I am.
Well, I like to think that you add another little flavor to the mix, and it's always good to have some flavors. And so it's great to have you both here. And I also appreciate your honesty, Harrison. That's also important. So let's start with a year ago. There was all that hype about the Detroit Lions. And James, I want to start with you. From where we started with the hype train last July, you, me, and Harrison talking about this, to where the Lions ended in San Francisco, talk to me about your overall takeaways from last year, and did that meet or exceed your expectations?
I think it had to exceed expectations, I think, for most Lions fans who weren't at least completely drinking the Kool-Aid. We talked last year about how winning a playoff game was the bar, and they did that twice. They won the division. Some people will say, oh, the two teams that beat in the playoffs weren't great teams or whatever. But I think the bigger barometer was seeing tweets during the Super Bowl of all people all over saying the Lions would most likely beat most of these teams most of the time.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, Harrison, you pushed a little bit more on this, saying what the Lions needed to do in order to, make it a successful season. You said winning the division wasn't enough to be successful. You said you were very specific. They needed to win a playoff game. Well, they did both. They won the division and two playoff games before falling in the NFC Championship game. So, Harrison, what's your overall reaction from last year?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Matt. I saw they posted a division banner outside Ford Field, right? Is that correct? Or was it inside? I think it was outside, right?
They've got one inside. I know they've got one inside.
But there's like a big one now outside, right? That says 2023 division champs. And if that were me, and I'm a hardcore Lions fan, I'd want the playoff wins to be bragged about way more than the division. Those were the things that were actually like, I don't know what they clinched the division in Minnesota, right? Wasn't that on like Christmas or something in Minnesota? Whereas those two home playoff wins, Matt, you're at both, James, you're at one. Like, I'm sorry, tell me that was not the real atmosphere and the real vibe that was going into this team for decades. Yes, the division win was special. I'm not going to deny that isn't important in the grand scheme of things. But for that team with all that hype that we talked about a year ago, it was all about those playoff performances and they doubled up on it, which, yeah, no doubt made that season a success. And, you know, we'll get into the NFC title game, I know, in a bit. A lot of expectations maybe changed once they got to that Final Four. But for re-evaluating what we talked about last July, August, well, it was 100% a successful season.
All right. Now, Harrison, I see your point on that because you could almost kind of liken it to what some people do in college basketball now. They'll say, hey, it's great to win your conference championship, but a lot of people really pay attention to what happens in the NCAA tournament. And if you get one and done in the NCAA tournament, or even two after losing or after winning your conference championship, it doesn't matter as much. And you're right about the atmosphere of those playoff games. James was there for the NFC, the divisional round with me, the Tampa game. I mean, James, speak to that atmosphere that you experienced there.
Oh, it was insane. I brought, in anticipation of what you said that the week before the crowd was like, which was louder than the week before that when they beat the Vikings. I brought earplugs. I didn't use them. I didn't end up using them. I probably should have, but I didn't use them. And it was just amazing to just kind of soak that in and see the city of Detroit just completely embracing that team and then pulling off that win.
So I'll say for me, the Lions did everything they needed to. I hope they would do it. And Harrison, I didn't know, you know, do I have to commit to that one playoff victory back in July of last year, you know, or is it a division win enough? And the fact that they did both, you know, for the first time since that 91 season and going into that wild card game. I don't know how you guys were feeling. I was so nervous. And I was like, hey, if the Lions win this, I love the storyline. But I don't like the storyline going in because there's too many things going against us. But you talked about that atmosphere. Maybe because it was a legit 2 degrees outside and it felt like everything had frozen over. And the crazy Jared Goff chants that erupted before the game and had become a new phenomenon around the state of Michigan, there was just so much buildup and I think anxiety. You can almost feel the tension and the excitement overlapping in that stadium. When we won, it was like everybody could exhale and it was big. And then that win over Tampa was nice because it avoided that one win and, oh, they only won one game. They got lucky, a narrative that maybe some national pundits might have pulled out. By winning two, that I felt like helped change the situation we're in. It helped change the talking points. So I felt like it was a very successful season. I think, as you guys said, it'd be hard-pressed to find someone who didn't think it was successful. But I think it was even more successful than a lot of us, you know, probably thought it might actually be before the season started.
Yeah, you know, there's that one fan out there that was like going into last year with like Super Bowl or bust. So the fact that they didn't make it, he was like, screw it. They failed me and every. So if people think I'm a pessimist, there's that guy out there somewhere that no doubt had that as the standard. And he's upset entering this year.
Yeah. And I bet you there's a lot of people who have that standard now this year. And I'm still like,
you're right, James. Maybe we'll go into talking about that.
Yeah.
Oh, we definitely will. But Harrison, I have a question for you. You have I don't want to call it a messy history with this team. Let's call it a complicated history with this team.
It's like a Taylor Swift song description of this team. Yes. There's love and hate all over the place.
So let me ask you, because I don't even know if James knows the answer to this question for you, is Harrison, how are you and the Detroit Lions relationship-wise today?
You know, we were even, my buddies and I were joking about this the other night. My one, because James watched the NFC title game with me at my house here. And that was a conflicting environment because there is a longstanding history of me wanting them to do well. But there is also the sense of knowing that I haven't been currently rooting for this team. So I don't really deserve the ride that they were potentially taking their fans on, especially if it would have led to a Super Bowl. So it's conflicting emotions. Deep down, there is, you know, whenever I tell anybody the answer to this, the Detroit Lions are my football team. Having said that, I do not support them in the same way as the average fan does, which I purposely do because I knew I threw in the towel years ago. And if I ever am going to come back as a dedicated fan, like both of you are, it's not just going to be a fluke. Oh, they're good now. I'm back. What's up? You know, I take too much pride in sports fandom and seeing people go on and off the bandwagons for any team all the time that I would do that myself. So I would describe it as supportive, but at the same time, I'm not jumping back in the frying pan as if like I was here and supporting them the whole time, because that's 100% not true.
All right, a very honest answer. And I think, you know, you had the summertime, you've had the season. I commend you for not just jumping all in and being like, hey, you know, I was here from the beginning when you weren't. But, you know, as I think many have said, there's plenty of room to join. And so if you feel you're ready to come back, I don't think anyone's going to be pushing you away.
Yeah, for anybody hearing this and thinks, oh, he just judges bandwagon fans for doing, no, bandwagon fans have been around since the beginning of time. That's just part of sports. That also implies that you really don't seriously care about the team in a long-term perspective. And that's fine. I'm sinking in the ship with the Detroit Pistons right now, and it's miserable. So I understand why fans would not want to pay any attention to teams when they're not good. I made my choice with the Lions. I didn't think they'd ever make a Super Bowl. I figured at one point in time they would do what they did last year at the very least. I didn't know it would come this soon. But I knew they had it in to make a playoff run. They were never going to go my entire life without winning a playoff game. The key will be getting into a Super Bowl and winning it. So that is something when I gave up in 2015, I never thought I'd see. So that is something they can do to shut me up for good if they want.
All right, well, let's turn and talk about how the season ultimately ended. James, you and Harrison were watching the game together, losing in the NFC Championship game to San Francisco. You've had months to digest it all at this point, and obviously it didn't feel good, but only one team truly does get to feel happy at the end of an NFL season. So how do you feel, how do you view the end of the season for the Detroit Lions?
As most fans know, they had that game completely in their grasp, and it slipped away. There's all kinds of ways you can look at it. You know, some people were critical of the still going for it on fourth downs, even though, you know, you were ahead in the game, or choosing not to kick field goals, all of that kind of stuff. But I mean, probably the biggest swing in the game was, the ball going off of Vildor's helmet and Ayuk catching it. And then a couple of plays later, after San Francisco had scored, the fumble by Jahmyr Gibbs, which, you know, didn't happen up until that point. So those were kind of two sort of fluky-ish plays. And so, you know, I mean, I don't know. At halftime, we were almost making plans for the Super Bowl. And then that kind of came to a grinding halt. So it was odd by the end. But I, you know, you have to, as a Lions fan, take solace in that in the first half, when both teams came in prepared for each other, the Lions dominated the 49ers, and then the second half happened.
All right.
So,
well, before
you have
I
to be happy about that.
All right. Well, before I turn to Harrison, here's another follow-up question, James. You know, you don't want to lose a game. So the answer is, I don't want to lose either game. But if you're losing a game, would you rather lose a game like the San Francisco game or a game like the Baltimore game when you're not even in it to begin with? Because it spirals out of control in the first, 8 minutes of the game.
Yeah, the San Francisco game, for sure. The Baltimore game was just an embarrassment. It was like the Carolina game the year before. Like, they never seemed to be in it. And like, that's one of the problems the Lions have had the last couple of years, is they have one road game a year where they don't even show up. And from the get-go, they're not in that game. You know, that's something they have to fix.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And like you said, that San Francisco game against the team that went to the Super Bowl, we took control. We were playing really well. And so that gives you that hope. That shows you the ability, and it shows you that we belonged. If we had shown up and had that same Baltimore-type game against San Francisco, I think the narrative could be a little different. So Harrison, you're watching the game with James. What was your view on that game, and anything else you want to add?
You know, we touched on a couple minutes ago how, you know, some people, once we got to that game, maybe changed their expectations, because there were, I remember, a lot of people that nobody was talking Super Bowl going into the Rams game. But then you get those two playoff wins, you go to San Francisco, you see how San Francisco has those slow starts against Green Bay, and people were subtly talking about them pulling off this upset. I was going to wait and see, being in the road game atmosphere of it. I was like, whoa, whoa, that's a big task they've got in front of them. But people were putting them on a different pedestal entering that week of that game, and applaud to that, you know, all the credit in the world to them for that first half of just going in there and taking control of a game that was not very, in my opinion, was not very winnable. It was a San Francisco team that's loaded on offense, really good at defense. Yeah, they had their injuries throughout the years, but they were pretty healthy going into that game. They had the home field. They'd been to a Super Bowl before. All the intangibles were on San Francisco side, and the Lions went in there and just showed that, no, all that statistical information or historic relevance that Harrison likes to spout off does not matter. They did that in the first half. They completely showed that any type of theory we have about NFL football or any sport in general of who has an advantage in a certain matchup is not relevant to that discussion. And then the second half happened, and you can quote the Lions inexperience. You can quote the Niners ability to actually wake up in the second half. There's probably a bunch of little things that went in besides the crazy bounce off the face mask. I think that'll signify the second half of that game till the end of time. But yeah, a brutal setting to see how that happens. But yes, 100%. You choose a Niners game where you look like you're inches, you know, a few plays away from a Super Bowl, whereas the Ravens game where you don't look like you belong at that stage, and maybe people start judging the Rams and Bucks as not quality playoff opponents, and then you come into this next season looking like, well, you weren't as good as maybe people thought in the regular season. And now going into this season, I think that San Francisco performance has a lot of people for sure even more worried about the Lions. But a situation where it's like, hey, that they're that dangerous on the road, and I'll get into my take in a second whenever you kind of ask it. I think the specifics of that game will motivate how they play throughout this upcoming. And anybody would say that. But in my mind that night, that's what I thought about this upcoming season, is that's going to 100% motivate how these guys play.
Yeah, I like the parts where you talk about how the narrative changes, right? The narrative is live. It's a living, breathing thing. And as the season goes on, expectations can adjust. And you had me on your show right before I flew out to San Francisco, and you asked me. And I didn't come out and say we're going to win and we're going to the Super Bowl. But I did say we had a chance, and most people weren't counting on us. And there wasn't a game the Lions played last year I didn't think they had a chance to win. Now, obviously, we knew they weren't going to win them all. And that game showed that they had the ability, and a lot of people did underestimate them. Now, some people, like you said, were already putting us in the Super Bowl, which you can't do. Even as excited as you get over those first two playoff wins. And you know what? The Rams were like the hottest team in the playoffs. They were the team nobody really wanted to see. And they were pretty healthy. So, you know, and I also think Tampa was more dangerous than Philadelphia at that point, with Philadelphia falling apart. But you're right, though. The way we played that game, you know, it does make people realize the Lions were legit. You can't say that the season was a fluke and that they just got lucky to get in and they beat a couple teams that weren't expected to be in the playoffs or do as well. And, you know, that first half was euphoric. You know, that was the most exciting halves of a playoff game I've been to, probably other than obviously the one I went to 2 weeks earlier, 3 weeks earlier, because that Rams wildcard game was the greatest football game I've ever been to. But second half was kerplunk. That's the best way I can explain it. And it wasn't a total kerplunk. We did some things okay, but in the end, the whole thing, I got to say, I'm thankful for the ride. That hype train was legit for me. James brought up the fact that people were second guessing Dan Campbell. My friend who flew down from Seattle, right next to me in the seat, second-guessing Dan Campbell. At one point, I finally had to say, dude, the New York Giants are not even here. You need to just, you know, calm down a little bit. This is what we do.
He'd been going for fourth downs all year. For people that would suddenly think he would change that up in the final four, it's like, no. At that point, I was cheering for the fourth. I was ridiculing the fourth down plays throughout the year. In that game, you do it. You dance with the card that brought you there, you know, and that was – their gimmick all year. So if you can love the fourth down plays in the regular season, but scrutinize them when it really matters, it's like that was clearly what he was going to do. So I don't understand why fans would get so outraged by that.
Right. And him knowing that the 49ers are kind of a second half team, like keep your foot on the gas. And that's exactly what he did. And people criticized him for that.
And the strongest part of the Lions team was their offense. And so you keep the ball in the hands of the most talented, the strongest part of your team. And so I get it as well. And I got to say, I think this all changed things for the Lions. Winning the division, two playoff games, it's a different time now. It's a new era, Harrison. I mean, we're hoping that's going to be the case here. We're going to find out. Questions were answered. I think doubters were silenced. But you're right, there's always going to be doubters. I mean, there's people at the end of that game that were like, oh, yep, there's the Lions again. And I'm like, but – you can say that almost after any loss by almost any team. But here we are. We're getting ready for 2024. What are we expecting from the train on the Detroit Lions Express this year? Is there hype around the Lions? Is it the same? Is it different? Because a lot of people got to look at us last year. Is it a national or is it just statewide excitement about them? Are they still that somewhat new bell of the ball? Or, you know what, are they just kind of there and they know them? They're moving into the next season and they're not getting the same attention for one reason. Maybe another new kid on the block has shown up taking the limelight. Harrison, let's start with you on this. What digest some of these questions for us.
I think everybody in the NFC is worried about the Detroit Lions. Notice I didn't necessarily say the AFC, but I think everybody in the National Football Conference is well aware that they're going to have to go, maybe not in Detroit, although that'll play into my prediction a little later. You're going to have to go through Detroit to get to the Super Bowl. And that's the standard they've set. And that's what I think a lot of people expect based on their betting odds for the upcoming year and them really getting better in the offseason, depending on how you judge the draft picks and the free agency moves. So for sure, the NFC is worried about them. And you know, a team like the Chiefs or the Ravens or the Texans, whoever comes out of the AFC, they're well aware of how that all works too. So, you know, for sure the NFC playoff field is on alert and yeah, we'll see if they can go above and beyond what they did a year ago.
All right, James, how about you?
I think, there's going to be a lot of people that are on the bandwagon for the media, at least, I think, you know, just seeing what happened last year. The media, a lot like coaching in the NFL, is very reactionary. And so now that it's happened, I think a lot more people will be on board with that, you know, but you still see that there's some, you know, I think it was one of Bleacher Report's NFL guys gave the Lions an 8% chance to get to the Super Bowl or something like that, which a lot of people have been well above that, which is encouraging that people like the Lions like that, but also, you know, those expectations can come crashing down on you too.
Yeah, the expectations, I think this Lions team is probably better equipped than most to deal with those expectations, because you're right, those expectations can be heavy things. I think the Lions are in a spot of others saying we know they're good, and we're going to hear people say, oh, the Lions aren't going to sneak up on anybody this year. But I'm going to tell you, I don't like that narrative, because I don't think we snuck up on anybody most of last season. And if we snuck up on anybody after we beat the Kansas City Chiefs to open the season last year, then they've got a horrible coaching staff, because they should have been ready for us. But people are always looking for new stories, you know? It might be Houston with C.J. Stroud. What's that rookie going to look like in his second season? It might be Green Bay getting more intrigue with Jordan Love going into his second full season as a starter. There's going to be plenty of talk about the Lions, I think, from the national media. And we might actually get more coverage because, believe it or not, I don't know how much sports talk shows you guys have watched. The Lions weren't one of the hottest teams, even the second half of the season, to talk about. It seemed to be some of those other traditional media powerhouse. I'm not calling the Cowboys a powerhouse for winning games or playoff games in recent decades, but they've gotten a lot of coverage. And so maybe we'll get our first dose of that, you know, through training camp. And when that opens up, and we'll see after week one excitement passes where the Lions are in that national coverage on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'm going to guess those media members were a lot like us and wanting to see them actually validate an entire season as opposed to signing off on them from what they saw in the first half of the year, especially seeing that Baltimore game and how ugly that was, and the Thanksgiving game with the Packers. You know, there wasn't, it's still nuts to me that Dan Campbell has not won a Thanksgiving game. This guy is like one of the most popular coaches in the league and he's 0-3 on Thanksgiving. So I think that's what people wanted to see, is were they going to win the division? Were they going to win the playoff game? And now that that's the case, I feel like all those guys, I mean, obviously we know Dan Orlovsky was always, you know, showing support for his team, but I think a bunch of those guys now are convinced, you know, especially with I still don't understand why Dallas year in, year out gets this love. And I understand it's the Dallas Cowboys, but you know, the stats are true. They haven't made an NFC title game since their last Super Bowl, correct? Isn't that the stat that gets thrown around?
Something like that. They've been for sure the playoffs. They're known for losing in the first round of the playoffs and just winning it.
They get there all the time. And I get it. It's the Dallas Cowboys. They're always going to be popular, even when they suck. They're always going to be talked about. But it's just funny that you still see them. It's like, well, now they're kind of the Lions of like a year or two ago, where I want to see them actually show me they can win in important situations, you know, and referee you know, substitution rules or not in the December 30th game. Like, yeah, let's see you actually take a game that's going to be talked about for years to come.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, and Harrison, I think you said it, you know, are people seeing it, not just talking about it? And we saw it throughout the completion of last season. And the Lions are going to get a lot more nationally televised games this year because of it. And so I think that by nature will add to it.
Well, ironically, it's around the same, right? I think they got 5 last year and they have 5 this year. I mean, it's hard to get more than... It's hard to get more than 5 in general. So, like, really, you know, especially if you're not the Cowboys or Eagles or, you know, whatever team gets all the favorite love. But, right? I think it's only 5, isn't it?
James, are you confirming this? Is it 6?
I can't remember the schedule off.
I just had it up,
But I think it's more than that. But
I don't count the Thanksgiving game as prime time because it's nationally televised, but it's also a game they always had, and it's during the day. Although it is seen by a lot of people, probably the most viewed Lions game in the regular season.
And technically speaking, you won't believe this, Harrison, the Lions have 9 nationally televised games. They play, now they're not all in prime time, but there's 9 nationally televised. So that starts with the Rams, then the Bucks. In week 2, that's nationally televised, even though it's a 1 o'clock game.
Well, that doesn't make it nationally televised then.
No, actually, no, you're right. It's a 1 o'clock. That's not it. You got the Rams. You got the Seahawks. The Cowboys game is a 425 nationally televised game. So even though it's a 425 game. And then the Packers on Sunday, November 3rd is a nationally televised game. They have the Texans Sunday night. They've got the Bears on Thanksgiving, which I know you're not counting. You've got the Packers again. This time it's on a Thursday against on Amazon Prime. Then they've got Buffalo at 4:25 on CBS. And yeah, Amazon Prime's not nationally televised either. And then they've got the Monday Night Football. But so that's kind of what you can look at those numbers and you could make them the way you want. But they are getting a little bit more highlighted than they did last year. Just
well,
a little.
But the 4:30 games, it's tough to count those because there are other games going on. Whereas primetime games, that's the test because, like, you're the only game on TV at that time. Whereas somebody could watch another, you know, West Coast game at the 4:30 slot if they wanted to.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I can go with that. So let's talk about what it's going to take for the Lions to be successful this season in your eyes. James, let's start with you. What are you thinking? What is it? What's a successful season for the Detroit Lions? Because Harrison already said it. There's some people that are saying Super Bowl or bust right now. Is that your measuring stick? What is your measuring stick? What's a successful season for the Lions look like for you?
No, I'm not going to get my priorities or my expectations completely out of whack based on one season. What I think that the team can do and what I expect them to do are two different levels. You know, I think the expectation for it to be deemed another successful season is getting back to the NFC championship game. I think that's kind of the bar for me, at least. You know, they've shown that they can, with the front office they have, they can do this. They can do it sustainably. You know, they've been able to get guys on rookie contracts. They've been able to re-sign their own big free agents and not spend a lot on incoming free agents, really. So they've been able to financially do this where it should be sustainable over a length of time. So, you know, you hope to kind of be the New England Patriots sort of in that they just wanted themselves in the playoffs every year. And then they had a quarterback and a head coach good enough to win it for them quite a few times. But if you hope to just get there and make yourself a serious contender every year, it's going to happen.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. Harrison, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with James. You can't, to compare it to me running high school cross country, which everybody can relate to, you know, I was running for a 5K, 18 minutes, 17 minutes, got in the 16 minute range. But you keep trying to set a new personal best and it just gets harder and harder because it's just more difficult. The faster you go, the harder it is to break that time and keeping it to relate it to the NFL. You get down to the final four. Yeah, you can have the best team in football, but it's not guaranteed. What, that was the Ravens last year. A lot of people thought that was going to be their year. A lot of people thought it was going to be the Bills' year the last several years, and they haven't made a Super Bowl recently. It's never a guarantee, no matter how good your team is, because of injuries or because of miscommunication, whatever the issue is. When you get down to the final four, it gets really hard. Yeah, every real good team has no excuse to lose a first round playoff game. But when you get that deep in the postseason, nothing can be, you can say hope, but using the word expected and Super Bowl for any football team, maybe the Chiefs because they have Patrick Mahomes and they've had this dynasty now, but like anybody else, using the word expecting a super, the phrase expecting a Super Bowl is just setting yourself up for disappointment because you might as well just hope that the team meets expectations. And then when you get to that moment that really defines who is the best in football, that your team shows up in that situation. Because as we saw for a half, that's 100% what the Detroit Lions did. And then as we saw in the second half, whether it was more Niners or more Lions collapse, they dropped that opportunity, not because they weren't good enough, but because the situation got to a level where they couldn't match it. And that's not, I don't think, outside of a couple Lions-ish errors, that's not really something you can blame on the team as much as showing, for whatever reason, the Niners were the better team through four quarters that day. So how does that go into this year? Yes, I agree with James. That is your standard. You've made the NFC title game. You want, as a franchise, to not disappoint fans. You want to do that again. Because no matter what, will it be cool if they win a playoff game and, say, losing the divisional round this upcoming season? For sure. That'll still be, like, a successful season in a lot of senses. But after last year, and knowing you brought a majority of that roster back and you've added to it, you've still got Ben Johnson, you are going to want that team to, at the very least, make the NFC title game to make you feel like all the work they're putting into it for 365 days is worth it. And I think the key motivator in that is going to be that loss in the NFC title game because it was on the road. They know more than anybody, if they can get that game at Ford Field, that gives them a huge advantage. So I think more than almost any other team in the NFL, I mean, I'm not going to power rank them here, but I don't see any other team that's more motivated to win every game this season than the Detroit Lions. Will they win every game this season? No, they do not seem like a 17-0 football team. I'm surprised the Patriots did it back in the day. That's how hard of, well, they were 16-0, but I guess. Anyways, I'm surprised any team feels like they have the ability to do, well, ability, but like the actual realistic expectations to do that, knowing how hard it is to play every weekend out in the NFL, knowing half your games are on the road. But I think this team, more than any other, has the motivation to have the best record, at least in the NFC, so they host San Francisco or Philadelphia or Dallas, whichever team ends up being in the Final Four with them. If it comes to that, that game will be at Ford Field like those first two rounds were. Then Matt and James, you guys can spend a bunch of money and go again. And hopefully that home field advantage is what gives the Lions an edge that they didn't have a year ago. And I think they know in a lot of ways that was a key thing missing from that opportunity.
Yeah, I a lot of great points there, Harrison. And playoffs are the expectation. You guys both said the NFC Championship game. I'm going to say if they don't reach the NFC Championship game, some people will feel a little bit disappointed or bummed out. For me, to be a successful season, I take a few things into account. The division is better, right? I would love to win it again, and I think we can. but it is going to be a more difficult division. It's a tougher overall schedule that plays into that as well. And I think some of the other teams in the NFC have gotten better this year. So I'm not going to say we need to win a certain number of games or the division or so many playoff games or even get to a Super Bowl. Because there's, like you said, Harrison, there are so many variables that go on through a season that can, you know, interrupt something. But I will say this. They need to play the same style of football we saw a year ago. That's what we need to see. Same style, same effort. Same tenacity. They got to use that word grit, and they've got to exude it just like they did last year. They've kept the same coaches. They've kept almost all the same players that were starters. And those who didn't stay, they replaced with similar talent or better talent. If they do that, if they can stay healthy, the sky is the limit for this team. They just have to stay the course. I think the only way the season would be a disappointment to me as if the team strays from everything they've been building for the last 3 years. I just don't see that happening.
Well, and if Ben Johnson had left, that is where I think the biggest question mark would be with this team. The fact that he came back again, which still kind of shocks me in a way, but hey, props to the guy. He cares more about having a successful team than getting a bigger paycheck, I guess. That would have been the number one question to me of the changes for this team. And yeah, I don't expect a lot of changes. I expect that offense to be more in sync. I expect that defense to be better. And like I told you, I think more than anybody else, they are going to be more up to the challenge of winning every game to get all those playoff games at Ford Field.
Well, exactly. And talking about the coaching staff with Ben Johnson being back, I think the other reason that maybe we have a lot of expectations is he could leave after this season. You never know when a player is going to leave or a coach is going to leave. And we know how important it is for an offense or a defense to keep all their pieces together and keep their schemes together and their coaching staffs. And what an advantage that gives you against another team that's learning everything from scratch. Or, I mean, think about all the times a new offensive coordinator came in when Matthew Stafford was here. And then you had to do all that relearning and all that. And so the Lions, like you said, every NFC team is aware of them, and I think that's what sets them up for such a great opportunity to succeed this year.
I agree. I know people are probably thinking I'd be, some people who know about my Lions pessimism probably thought I'd be hating more, but it's impossible to hate on this team. Yeah, is there a chance that they could go like 500-ish? There's that chance. With injuries and the tough schedule, like, it's not guaranteed that this Lions team is immediately like last year. But from all we've seen and all we know of the organization, it is really tough to picture a letdown season where some teams have done that in the past, you know, coming off even Super Bowl. Look at the Bengals after Joe Burrow got them there. The next season was, you know, considered a letdown for a lot of people because they had made the Super Bowl. But now here they are. A lot of people are talking about the Bengals again, so.
Well, and also right after the game, Coach Campbell talked about how it's going to be even harder this year than next year. So he already planted that seed right away. And he said there's no guarantee we'll get back here. And Harrison, you alluded to this earlier. The way that last game ended leaves a really bad taste in your mouth that I think prevents anybody from taking anything for granted.
Exactly. That's, you know, that's, I guess that's how you want it. If you don't win the big one, you want a game that irks you so bad that that's all you think about through the offseason. And whether that's the result you want or not, I think that's one that the players are taking full advantage of.
All right, last couple of questions here. James, we'll start with you. Any words you have for fellow fans and their emotions as we enter this new era of Lions fandom where people enter the season with not just like, I don't know, far-fetched excitement, but realistic excitement for what the team can do?
I would say confused. I think a lot of Lions fans don't know how to approach this. Kind of myself included. We're not used to this kind of success. We're not used to expectations. They're not used to the Lions being somebody who's talked about on ESPN on a regular basis, aside from being mocked, you know, and you know, I can see a lot of teams and a lot of fans wanting the Lions to be kind of that team. You know, they have a lot going for them. They have good personalities and players that don't generally get into trouble or anything and make headlines for the wrong reasons, you know, and probably for the media. If I was somebody who is a national talking head, I am sick and tired of having to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. You know, I mean, they're the Cincinnati Bengals of the 2000s, basically, where they make the playoffs and lose in the first round every year. But they get, you know, except they get talked about way, 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 way more. So I think the Lions are kind of a refreshing change of pace for a lot of people in the media. And I don't think that makes a difference on what's going to happen on the field or anything at all. But it's refreshing for the fans that I think that may be the case this season. And it's just a whole different season as far as expectations. You know, I've seen a lot of fans who just quickly have gone 360 degrees from, oh, the Lions suck, to we're going to win the Super Bowl. And without a doubt, like, we're winning the Super Bowl this year. And I'm like, that's a bit much, man. Health figures so much into that. And it's one thing in the NFL that is not very predictable. The Lions were, in NFL terms, very healthy last year, had very few season ending injuries and stuff. So that's something that they're going to have happen again to have a season like what they did last year.
There's such little room for error when it comes to winning the whole thing. And that is quite a drastic change of emotions there and expectations. Harrison, how about you? Words for any fellow fans and their emotions as we enter this new season.
You know, besides echoing what we've hammered home here, is just nothing's guaranteed. So just enjoy the ride while it lasts. I mean, just to kind of sprinkle in the discussion, maybe for next year at this time, they've locked up a bunch of guys on a bunch of big contracts. So now is where Brad Holmes is really going to have his job challenged as far as putting this stellar team together while making sure everybody gets paid. And that'll be down the road, you know, kind of the ups and downs of the off season. But as right now, you know, everything's in check. They've re-upped Goff and, you know, who's the lineman that I'm blanking on that throughout the first
pitch.
And Amon Ross. So like the guys that they really like that are, well, Goff's not young-ish, but you know, the younger guy, they got Hutchinson for sure for a few more years. Down the line, finances will be the thing that in a long way may go to defining this current era of the Detroit Lions. But right now, you might as well just enjoy every game, every week. We've seen the state of Detroit sports. We thought the Tigers were coming back. They're clearly still struggling. We thought the Red Wings were going to make the playoffs. They missed out. And I think a lot of questions are, I get it, Steve Yzerman inherited a really bad roster with a really bad farm. Everything was terrible for the Red Wings in 2019, but it's been 5 years now and the Red Wings still aren't in the postseason. I think the Red Wings are the Dallas Cowboys of hockey. So people are really upset when they don't do what the national pundits expect them to do. I've already wasted time talking about the Pistons. I don't really think a lot of Detroit fans really care too much about the Pistons. I think if they were to be moved to another city tomorrow, you wouldn't see that many people disappointed outside of the fact that it's the NBA team. But I don't think there's a lot of dedicated Piston fans that would really get upset about that. So of our one shining beacon of hope in the Detroit sports scene, you might as well just enjoy the ride. The other three seasons are so up and down and in a lot of ways can be described as miserable, which was the Detroit Lions for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, however you want to describe your fandom with the team. So knowing that you're pretty much guaranteed a quality product, what that product does at the grand scheme of things is still to be determined. And that's what we left it at last year. You know, that playoff game was the most important thing. It didn't matter to me if they won the division. It didn't matter, you know, however they got in and got that playoff game. This year is about obviously continuing that success. You can't get in the playoffs at 500. You need to play better than that. But do what you got to do to get better. And then when you get that opportunity, you know, then maybe let your emotions take you on a roller coaster ride in January. But for now, it's looking like it's going to be another good team. There's going to be a game like the Ravens game in there. Just go in, week out, enjoy the good, accept the bad. And honestly, like the Philadelphia 76ers used to say, you know, believe, what do they say? Believe in the system, you know, hold, there was their tagline for when they were hoping fans would stay with them, which I get is a bad comparison knowing how disappointed the Sixers are in the NBA, but like, keep the faith, trust the system, trust the process. That was what they said. More than anybody, Dan Campbell exemplifies that mentality of like, I am going to get you to greener pastures. Would that be the Super Bowl? Yet to be determined, but there is a lot of trust that he and that organization has gained. So just have fun with it. Do not put expectations on this team that are unrealistic. And I think like we all three have agreed on, the realistic expectations are for them to be another competitive team this year to factor into the playoffs.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were going for trust the process, but I'm glad that's where you got, and that was a phrase I was thinking of. And I'll echo some of those things. Enjoy the ride is the first thing that comes to mind, because I said that a lot last year. A year ago at this time, we were excited about what was coming, but we were nervous as heck. All three of us were like worried that we were not going to meet expectations and we were going to fall flat. And we didn't have a whole season of what we just came off of to help build us up for this excitement. And yeah, reasonable expectations. It's kind of like golf a little bit. The better you get, the smaller the margin for error is to actually achieve that higher level of success. And that's what happens in the playoffs. It can be one, it can come down to one thing. And you know, James laid out two really big things within minutes of each other that changed a lot of things. So I would say this, enjoy the ride. It should be a fun season. We're going to be competitive. We should be a playoff competing team. And at that point, anything can happen. Now, again, everybody's different, and you're going to take the experience with what you will, but I say try to have fun, and as Harrison said, trust the process, because we haven't seen a team get this better this many years in the row, this almost exponentially by the Detroit Lions as we have seen these last 3 years. So I would say enjoy it and have fun and see what it brings. James, any final thoughts before we get out of here for the Lions fandom train or anything else surrounding the Lions?
No, I just hope that Lions fans, you know, have reasonable expectations. And like you said, enjoy this rather than put pressure on yourself. Enjoy it.
All right, Harrison, how about you?
Where are they at in the Super Bowl betting out? Is it fifth? Are they the fifth highest? I think it's around there, right? I think it's only San Francisco and the NFC. And then it's
only
it's
San Fran and the NFC has a higher
but to win. I think so. Ravens, yeah. Chiefs, and I think Texans were up there, which is kind of insane to think about that people are reading into CJ Stroud that heavily already. But
shows the Lions are number four behind 49ers, Chiefs, and Ravens.
Chiefs, so okay. And that would, you know, you see a number like that. That's obviously the number that the stat that, or the gambling, you know, feature that's going to be thrown around a lot this year. Ironically, the NFC North division, you know, betting will be very interesting as well. Although obviously the Lions, I think, are the favorites still in that, right? Green Bay is not. Yeah. Okay. So it's easy to look at something like that and say, well, hey, that's us. You know, that's where we should be. Everybody expects us to be there. So that's kind of the mentality we have to live up to. But yeah, we say again, just let it settle, let it take its course. And then when we get to January, then you can maybe, we'll have a full another regular season to really analyze how this team did, how the rookies, I mean, if the rookies play anything like they did last year, oof, Lions fans are in store for a lot of good stuff. So you just ride that wave, and then, yeah, let's do this again in January. And then maybe we can talk about the fact that, hey, maybe they are the team that we don't expect anybody to contend with in the NFC. But until then, Hakuna Matata.
And with a quote from the Lion King, we will end the show. James, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me.
And Harrison, thank you for joining us today.
I swear that was unintended. I was just like, what's a good way to wrap it up? So then thank you for pointing out that that is from The Lion King.
Yes, quite appropriate, a great movie, and hopefully we are the kings of the NFC North and then some this year.
We're talking about the animated version, though, not the recreated version from like 5 years ago, right? That was trash.
I did not subject myself to watching that version. I'm only aware of the original.
All right. Just making sure your daughters are only watching the original. Good.
All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. While you're at it, tell your friends about the show. Please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. And until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy,
Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.